This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 289 in the series. This session shares the Franklin Mass School Committee Budget Subcommittee meeting held on Friday, June 5, 2020. The meeting was conducted via conference bridge to adhere to the school social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. Subcommittee Chair Ann Bergen opens the meeting. The meeting host is School Superintendent Sarah Hearn, which opened late due to some technical difficulties. Each person who speaks is announced. The show notes contain links to the meeting packet and to the individual documents referenced. There is audio distortion as a note, as a number of folks who connected did not properly mute their connections. There were about 40 or so participants initially, and then another 20 or so joined the meeting. So the muting advice was needed to be repeated a couple of times. Eventually, the meeting sounded good. The recording runs just under an hour, about 58 minutes. So let's listen to the budget subcommittee meeting of June 5.
So the time being 10:07 now, I call to order the June 5th, 2020 meeting of the budget subcommittee. I'm hoping to end by 11 o'clock only because there are so many other meetings that are lined up and we're getting ready for graduation as well. So also, just to do a roll call attendance for school committee, people, if you just indicate that you're present. Jennifer D'Angelo?
Present.
Tim Keenan?
Present.
And Ann Bergen? Here. Okay. Tim and Jen, I sent the minutes. I just wanted to make sure that they looked okay to you from our last meeting.
They did. Thank you.
Okay.
So let's just do it formally. Motion to accept the minutes from the May 29th meeting. Is there a motion to accept?
Motion to accept.
And a second? Okay.
Second.
And then quick roll call, Jen D'Angelo?
Yes.
Tim Keenan?
Yes.
And Ann Bergen, yes. Okay. Let me just read the governor's, which we do at every single one of our meetings. Per Governor Baker's order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, the public will not be allowed to physically access this school committee subcommittee meeting. Members of the public can access the meeting via remote conference. The school committee reserves the right to implement additional remote participation procedures and will notify the public of these procedures as soon as practicable. Okay. So,
and
with
not
that
to interrupt,
oh, sure.
But could we have people mute because the feedback, I appreciate the participation, but
I just asked if people could mute because all we're hearing is feedback coming. So if you could mute, that would be greatly appreciated. Thanks, Jen.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Sarah, I'm going to turn it over to you and Miriam to kind of give us an update on where we are now in the budget process.
Sure. So we are in the process of bringing to you some more detailed recommendations with respect to how to get the budget to the town's expectation, how we might get there. There have been many difficult conversations over the past several weeks with the administrative team, trying to look at and find ways in which to reduce the budget gap, which is currently $3.4 million, although we anticipate it being greater. The reason for that is that the state aid estimates are about $6 billion less than $6 billion less than forecasted and projected, and we're expecting state aid cuts to come. Senator Spilka and the legislative delegation spoke at town council on Wednesday night and kind of affirmed that fact-based information. But what we do know right now is that based on the governor's budget, we are planning for reductions in the $3.4 million range. In terms of how we would propose to get there, we had previously talked with the budget subcommittee about updating our budget figures. And so we have updated our budget figures. And that remains the same as last week when you saw that on the order of $1.3 million. We are proposing to reduce additional positions from the critical needs that we added. You had previously seen an iteration here that removed the REACH coordinator and transition specialist. We are reluctant to put these ideas forward, but recognizing the budget situation that we are in, we are proposing to remove the one of the two RBTs and a Strive ESP from the critical needs. In terms of how we would manage to cover services, we still feel strongly that an RBT should be added from the two that were proposed, thinking that we will come back from the pandemic and students will have a greater number of SEL needs and behavioral needs. So we propose to keep one of them in, and we propose to reduce the Strive ESP. We think we will try to cover it from within. We have left the reduction in the teaching and learning budget at 20,000 and reducing supplies and materials across the district at 5%. What we have done and bring to you today is a more detailed list of reduction in personnel, ways in which we are looking to close the gap and in some places be creative. You know, per some of the conversations that we've had and what we have shared, we've looked pretty broadly across the system, but also, you know, want to prioritize certain areas that we think are important, especially as we come back from closure and recognize that there's going to be a wider variety of SEL needs as well as academic skill needs among our students. We've taken a look at class sizes and projected enrollment at the elementary level and would propose the reduction of 7 classroom teaching positions. Most of these are in kindergarten based on our kindergarten registration numbers. That does have our elementary principals a little bit nervous about move-ins over the summer, but we are also mindful of the census and that we've had a decrease in young children coming into our district over the past couple of years. Other Sarah, grade levels.
Sarah, yeah, I'm gonna say the same thing.
I have a couple people who are not muted that I can't hear, so I have keep coming highlighted. You've got to mute because it's feedback.
Now that we're on the Zoom platform, I should be able to mute people, but I'm, as you might imagine, I'm kind of trying to work through the
That's okay, and I apologize to interrupt you. It's,
no, that's okay. Same thing, yeah, okay. Go ahead, Sarah.
So we're mindful of the number of students, and we will keep track of our enrollment carefully over time. But we're looking at reducing 7 elementary classroom teaching positions at this time. Also taking a look at service needs and caseloads, proposed to reduce a special education position at the elementary level. This next item is marked as TBD because we're still looking at schedules. And quite frankly, schedules may look different in the fall. So this is a tricky one for us to forecast and predict. But we have reduced classrooms at the elementary level. And we're taking a close look at the FTEs assigned to specialists who teach art, music, PE, and health. Think that we may be due for kind of a natural reduction there due to fewer classrooms, classroom classes at the elementary level. So that is from an elementary perspective. There's one more from the elementary perspective. The last item from this list related to elementary is a proposal to reduce chorus at the elementary school. Part of the thinking here is that in terms of what the fall looks like, we are wondering that we would be able to offer chorus given what the health concerns might be with respect to droplets in the air. We also are, I think, just in general programmatically feeling like students aren't as engaged in chorus as perhaps they used to be. There's some more management and behaviors. So there's some general concerns about chorus. And so that is proposed on this list.
Excuse me, Mrs. Superintendent, would you please mute all for the benefit of those who will be listening to this later? There are a couple of folks who are not muted, and that's going to destroy the recording that'll be available for others to listen to later. I appreciate taking the time to do so. Thank you.
Yeah, this is our third reminder. Thanks, Steve. Yeah, please. Yeah, it's just, it's really, the distraction is awful. We can't hear. Go ahead, Sarah.
Sure. Sorry, I just lost my screen.
Yeah.
No, there's one more phone connection that needs to be muted. You got it. Thanks.
So, in terms of chorus is something that provides our elementary teachers with the opportunity for common planning time. So we would propose to backfill that with some substitute time so that our teachers could continue to do common planning. We think that that common planning is going to be really important next year as we think about teams of teachers supporting students in a difficult return back to school. Last year, the middle level had the majority of classroom teaching reductions based on enrollment. We changed the structure of our middle school teams. So there are fewer reductions proposed here at the middle level. But based on enrollment, we have proposed the reduction of a special education teaching position at Annie Sullivan and a reduction of a grade six teacher at Annie Sullivan. The enrollment forecast shows that those numbers are continuing to decrease. Consistent with some of what we shared around the elementary, the middle school principals have concerns related to student engagement in chorus. The numbers are lower than they are in band and other music programs. And we have a reluctant proposed reduction for middle school chorus. And I think I talked about the grade six teacher already. Mm-hmm. This proposal has counselors, three FTEs of counselors being funded through community host agreement revenue rather than the operating budget. So these are not reductions. It's just a proposed alteration to how things are funded. And we left $50,000 in our minds at this point to train current staff on substance abuse prevention. We have a vacancy in our fine arts coordinator position. So thinking creatively and temporarily, I don't think that this would be a long-term solution, but thinking creatively, having one person serve as a fine and performing arts coordinator, which is sometimes a model that districts use. Again, I don't think it's a long-term solution. I think that we're proud of both of those departments and programs and would want to see those curricular areas nurtured in their own ways. But for this year, we think that this might be a creative way to not have to lose a current position. We underestimated, I think, the value there, because I think there's some other aspects, some unique aspects of that program that would need to get kind of distributed out among other staff, including the FAA coordination. So it's a partial savings. We have here a proposed reduction of clubs and activities at the middle level. This would not eliminate clubs and activities. One of the things that I had mentioned is that we'd want to scale back and not lose programs. So this is a reduction of clubs and activities. The reduction of clubs would happen at all three middle schools. They would retain some clubs that would be common among all three, and then there may be some unique clubs that would run at each middle school based on that school's personality. So this does not cover all of the funding that goes to clubs and activities. Some of our clubs and activities do have some low enrollment. We have been trying to keep them because we think that it's important for students to be able to explore their passions and interests. But we think next year might be time, particularly with the uncertainty of what school might look like in the fall. Consistent with that, we're unsure of the ability to have large group performances. Many private organizations that have large performances have scaled back on their programming. And so in anticipation of not being able to bring large groups together, we have a proposed reduction in music stipends and the footlighters. We are reviewing these at the high school level as well, but you do not see them on the list. Proposed reduction in ESPs at the middle school based on student enrollment, which we think would be absorbed by attrition. The high school is currently taking a close look at their schedule and seeing what consolidation they might be able to do. There is still guidance that we're waiting for from the Department of Education about schedules and what school's going to look like in the fall. So this is a bit tentative. So they're doing a little bit more homework there and considering different positions across the high school. One position at the high school that we are proposing to reduce is the job coach who supports students in vocational programmings going out into the community. This is a relatively new position and the functions had previously been covered by somebody else. We are not sure that students will be able to be placed in the community for vocational purposes given some of the uncertainty with coronavirus. We bring this forward for discussion. We have automated a lot of our functions, although this is a painful one to put forward given kind of the front face of the Franklin Public Schools is in our office, but we propose to reduce a central office secretary to half time. And we are also mindful, again, we don't 100% know what school is gonna look like in the fall, but we anticipate some things being different, including the number of students on campus. Again, thinking that we would be proposing to scale back rather than completely eliminate programs, as well as recognizing that we're looking at all aspects of our operations. We have a proposed reduction of an assistant principal at Franklin High School. We added up an estimate of related benefits. And this list, as you see it, would be $3.5 million, leaving the committee with about $51,000 to kind of alter, and certainly your input is welcome. Can do more with this list based on your priorities and your input and your feedback. But this is what we have put together through many iterations to get to a number around $3.4 million. And I will, I guess, pause there for questions, comments, concerns, questions.
I think, Sarah, one of the things I was just going to ask is we don't have a sense of, given what we don't know about what's going to happen in the fall, it makes things so much more complicated. There's no sense of when we're going to be hearing, is there, from DESE or from the governor in terms of guidelines for reopening? Do we have a sense of that yet?
We're hearing mid-June in terms of the guidance from the Department of Education.
Committee members, Tim, Jen.
Oh, here we go.
Tim, go ahead.
Sorry, Tim, before you start, can we just remind people to mute?
Yeah, we've got a few people now who are not muted, and it's being picked up. Could you please mute?
Okay. Can you hear me?
We're still waiting for a few people to mute. Okay, go ahead, Tim. Sorry.
Okay. So thanks, Sarah, for walking us through that, and thanks, everybody who joined the meeting today. First thing, I just want to acknowledge that yesterday was really distressing to hear about. I think, you know, painful for everybody that's on this call, I'm sure. Distressing to hear about the people who were on the call yesterday and received notice about the positions that will potentially be eliminated, or some positions that will be eliminated. We all, I think my perspective, I'm sure, is shared by everybody on this call, is that losing a single person can negatively impact the student experience. And when we're talking about, 20, 25, and going upwards from there, there's no denying that the student experience will be negatively impacted. I think it's important for us to recognize that the I read through a lot of the postings that were happening on social media yesterday related to the discussions that happened yesterday, and one of the things I wanted to raise that I think is important is that the budget shortfalls that existed, they existed, and the challenges that we were having here from a financial standpoint existed before the COVID thing even happened. And that's a big struggle, because the COVID situation is now exacerbating what is going on. And so I just want to make sure, as a group, we acknowledge that we from a budget perspective, like, we were in there's a tough spot here, no matter what, with or without COVID. And the solutions that are on the table right now, or the recommendations that are on the table right now, to some degree are trying to close the budget gap. But nothing, when we look at this, like, feels optimal. I think nobody would look at this and say, yeah, we think this is good, right? Like, we don't want to lose positions or lose opportunities for students to participating in things that could, enrich their academic or school experiences. Like, these feel like all short-term solutions that, if there's a budget gap, there has to be some sort of short-term solution. But, when it comes to impacting jobs and everything, it's like the pain is real, and like, nothing about this feels good, I would say. And so it hit me, yesterday that I know we're kind of late in the game right now, but we need to amplify this message about the budget shortfalls beyond just this being a product of what's happening related to COVID, because I think there's maybe valid reasons to say that there is some impact from COVID. We know that, but even if COVID goes away, like, there's things we have to solve for here.
And Tim, can I just interrupt just for 1 second, just because I just wanted to follow up, just if exactly what you're saying, because I think when you said, one of the things I just want to keep reiterating, and we'll certainly do it at school committee on Tuesday, is 5 years, at least 4 or 5 years ago, a fiscal forecast was put out to the community that there was going to be budget shortfall across the board, that the town can no longer maintain services, that the cost is everything is rising. For the last 4 years, we have been putting out this information. We held 3 legislative forums. We've had monthly community relation coffee hours, always focused on the budget. We've been at the Harvest Festival. We've been at the farmers market. We've been on the soccer fields on Saturday mornings. We put out newsletters. We pleaded with people through the joint PCCs. So it's something that's been out there, and people, I know people feel the pain, and they've been advocating, but I think now it's risen, like you said, Tim, it's to a higher thing, because we're dealing with a short-term issue, but the long-term. And how do we come to a community, how do we come together as a community to sort of say that all of this matters to us? But we have been so trying to get the message out, and I think people have listened, but I think more people need to listen, because you're so right, Tim. It's a short-term thing and a long-term situation. But I wanted to make sure that this has been an effort for such a long time to get this message out, because Jeff Nutting and Jamie Helen put that out. The fiscal forecast has been out there that every single year, Tim, for the last, how many years has it been that we've had to deal with the cost of everything rising, and we're given just a tiny bit of money. And every year what we've had to do is cut back, raise.
What gets me about this town is everybody's, oh, it's good school system.
Excuse me, wait a minute. This is this subcommittee here. We'll certainly have time for public comment afterward, but following up, Tim, on what you had to say. I didn't mean to jump in, and I didn't want to cut you off, but I just wanted people to realize that we're not late to the game on this. We've been out there pushing for this as long as we, with every ounce of being, to get educate the people and make sure people understand at every school committee that these are issues that we have to address. I'm sorry, Tim. I just wanted to reiterate that, because your points are well taken, and I didn't want to jump in there. So.
No. I appreciate that, Anne. And so, I'll build off what you're saying, and I'm trying to get to a point on this one, which is, I'm probably one of those community members who, like, I've seen those messages in the past, and you know, I'm not from an educational background. I'm from, you know, I work in the corporate environment, and like, it's easy as a community member. I shouldn't say it's easy, but like, you know, I was probably one of those community members who could look at the overall budget, and you can just like see a big number and say like 65 million, you know, 70 million. Wow, that seems like a big number. How can we not be able to operate successfully with that number? And the fact is, like, when you get into the details of it, which I've, you know, done to some degree now, and did more last night, that like some things, like the light bulb goes off, right? And I was late to the game on this, and I'm sure there's other community members like me who are late to the game. But a question came up in our last school committee meeting, which was, what do we want to be known for in Franklin from an educational perspective or educational experience perspective? And I know I moved here originally 14 or so years ago, in part because I wanted my kids to have a great educational experience. And I think the fact is that our and this message has been going out, like you said, Dan, not like, you know, we weren't trying to communicate this, or the school committee and the town wasn't trying to communicate this previously. But our expenditures relative to other districts, if I'm reading the data correctly,
Tim, I don't want to, your point is very important, but we've got a lot of people who are not muted, and we can't all hear you, and what you're saying is important. So please, I'm not being disrespectful, just asking people to please just mute. Thank you very much. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah. Go ahead, Tim. Sorry.
So the main point I'm trying to get to, if I'm reading the DESE data correctly, and, you know, Miriam, like, you're I'm sure closer to it than me, and have seen this, and part of these messages have been going out to some degree, and I kind of looked at it in a little bit of different ways, but...
Yeah, well, this is brand new doing
our,
it.
So
I'm muted, right?
No, you're not
muted.
You're not muted.
There we go. Good. If I'm looking at Franklin's per pupil expenditures relative to other districts in Massachusetts, and you're just looking at the data, and I'm a data guy, you can't look at that data and see where Franklin is falling from a ranking perspective. We're so far down that you wouldn't look at that data and say, like, yeah, that's probably going to be a district that is going to deliver a top tier or a very strong educational experience. And I know we've been doing that. Like, and so we've been doing that, like, with our hands tied almost from a budgeting perspective. And I know that message has been trying to go out, but, like, it just struck me how far down we are on that list from a budgeting, from a per pupil expenditure standpoint across every single subcategory. So what I wanted to do yesterday, and I'm going to wrap up in a second, but I think this is important, is I went into the data trying to find, is there some place where we're over allocated in terms of the money that is going into any sort of expense category? Are we spending too much on administration? Are we spending too much on teachers? Like, I wanted the data to tell me the story. Where are we over allocated? So DESE breaks it down into 10 expense categories. And I looked at the expenditures per pupil for each of those 10 relative to the state averages. There's no place where we are over, we're underspending in every single category. Except one, and it's a minor. Professional development is the one area where we weren't below average. But every other area we were below average. And if you look at those numbers and just let the data tell the story, there's no way you could look at those numbers and say that district. If you kind of hid the fact that it was Franklin, you wouldn't look at that data and say that district is probably offering a great educational experience. And the fact that we have been is, like, kudos to a lot of people on the call and the administration and everybody that's involved in the education. But that can't persist. Like, that can't keep happening, right? Like at some point, like, if you're running any sort of organization or sports team or whatever, and you're not, you know, spending at levels to be able to compete, like, it's not sustainable. So we need to solve for that. Like, there's the budget of this year that we're going to come up with some solution for. But if we don't, like, increase the expenditures, like, it's like the education, like, we just can't sustain the good educational experience. And so I just wanted to kind of wrap with that and just, like, I know the message has been communicated, but we need to just, like, get on the foghorns and just blast it out more and more and more, because we are, it seems, if I'm reading the data right, we seem to be very, very far behind from an expenditures standpoint.
Thanks, Tim. Jen, did you want to add anything?
I do. So, Tim, I agree. I agree that that is, you know, kind of a situational analysis of where we are financially. My concern becomes it's not solution-based. So, you know, unfortunately, the word has been out for 5 years, the money is not there, but it doesn't really put us closer to a solution as to where we are right now. And I think that that is kind of the mindset I would like to take on this call, because I think that that's where our big problem is. And I agree with you. Yesterday's notices of over 100 teachers of non-renewal was very upsetting at a time where the town would be celebrating our graduates. So I think timing was an issue. I think the overall message was extremely hard for many people to handle. And I think it's a very sensitive topic. And I'm happy to have extra people participating today in the meeting. And in this kind of participation would be awesome year round to kind of help guide these conversations. So with that being said, I did look at the proposal that Sarah just presented. And thank you for the thoughtfulness that went into that with your admin team. My concern comes from looking at the administrative level. And this has been a conversation that we have had ongoing for a while. I did request some additional data this week looking at job descriptions. I will, you know, kind of put a disclaimer out there that the information that I have is probably limited compared to those who actually manage the school district. So, you know, what I have available to me is very different than what happens in the decision-making process for the school. But I do look at the overall admin structure, and I know, Tim, you had kind of referenced it as financially we are still in alignment. I think that kind of is a twofold. I think that looks at a bottom number, and I think that we can look at two things about the pay scale of our admins versus the overall amount that we're allocating to the number of people. So I'm not quite sure that that whole number is a great indicator of our structure here in town as far as efficiency. So, you know, when I look at this, you know, one of my big concerns and the reason why I am on the school committee is to make good decisions for kids. And this does not seem like a solution base that really enhances the opportunities for kids. So with that being said, I did look at things. I have some ideas. I think that we really do need to go back and look at the administrative piece of where we can cut. You know, I don't know if you want me to give examples, specific examples, or you want me to relay those to you in a different way. But I do think that that is important. And the other piece of that is we talked about not knowing the budget numbers. And I agree with that. There is a huge variable there that we're not going to know definite numbers till maybe October, November. We've talked about the educationally unsound decision-making of collapsing classes in October and November, and that's why we're trying to be proactive with the teacher impact. But the nice thing is if we do have to cut some administrative staff members, bringing them back in October or November is going to be a nice-to-have relief in the fall. It's not going to impact the structure of the kids in the classes. So I do think we need to revisit that. I do think that, again, the proposed budget cuts were thoughtful, and I respect that, but I do think that there is some leeway that we can play with on that administrative level that I think that we really need to take a hard look at.
Jen, can I follow up on that too? We've had these discussions, and I think that it's incredibly valuable. And I think I would also ask Sarah to sort of, is there, you know, considering and looking at where they can cut back. But the one thing we've talked about a lot is the fact is we have done so much to bring back and make sure for all the right reasons we keep special needs classes in our schools and don't send them out to out-of-district placements. And I need to tell people and when we talk about this is the role that the administrators, not only in social emotional and not only in teacher evaluation, but the idea of the toll that it takes, and it's a good problem, but when we keep these classes in our schools, the amount of time that it takes and energy that it takes to manage some of these kids who have such, you know, extraordinary social and emotional needs. And I think anyone who doesn't live it every day to see the role that the administrators play. And understanding to the extent, this is society, this isn't Franklin Public Schools, this is the level of emotional and behavioral issues that we're facing in our schools today. And the role that if teachers have to deal with all this on their own, they can't do the work they need to do in the classroom. So I think I would just suggest that when we do our, again, this is not a public hearing today, we're just a subcommittee and we're talking among ourselves. But things we want to bring to the full school committee meeting when the full committee's there and ask Sarah to address exactly what you're saying, Jen, is to give more information about the roles and responsibilities of administrators so that the public can see it. And then there may be places to cut back. And I agree, it's something we need to look at. But we've had these discussions, and I think that understanding the day-to-day operations and the roles those administrators play, I think that's crucial. And I'm just going to, you know, give that point out there, and when we do have the full public, when we have our school committee meeting, that we put that in either the superintendent's report or the budget discussion where more information is given on that. And I'll turn it over to Sarah, but I just wanted to add that. Sarah, is that?
Yeah, and I would just say that, you know, I do think that that's an area I'm well versed in, and I do take those things into consideration.
I know you do, Jen. That's, yeah,
so I hear you. I do think, you know, that my information was well-researched and well-thought, and I don't think that I don't take those into consideration.
Sure. Yeah, I hear you.
When I'm thinking about these things. So
I hear you, Jen. You're very thoughtful, and you do a lot of research, and I don't mean to in any way diminish that, but sometimes when people hear the word administrator, they think maybe back to years ago the way it used to be, but I think that was my only point in that, and I know this is your life's work, too, so I didn't mean in any way to diminish what you had to say. Sarah, I don't know if you wanted to address that or...
I'll address all the comments because each one of you had shared some thoughts and your perspectives as the budget subcommittee is really valued and really important. I think as we continue to iterate the budget as we go forward, you have seen previously kind of some general thinking up until this point. And so this is, an increasingly detailed and increasingly public conversation about the budget challenges that the district faces. To Jen's point, I think there's probably both some short-term and long-term solutions and problem solving that need to be confronted and talked about and addressed. And we know that it's going to likely get worse from here with respect to budget reductions. And so your input and feedback is helpful as we continue to think about areas that we should be examining. In the end, we will do that. We will do that. Within the district, I think in the end, we in Franklin, in particular, our budget goes towards classrooms, kids, schools, and there aren't a lot of places necessarily to look that are within our purview, and the numbers are below the state average. So I think we've got some challenges, but your input and feedback and suggestions of continued places to look are helpful. And it's your budget, and so happy to provide you with the information that you need going forward.
Here's a comment that I can bring up also in the school committee meeting, because I also... try to think through what are some other things we can potentially revisit or do and put on the table. And some of these, I don't know if they're even possible. So one is like the out of district tuition number, and none of these are great solutions, but like not to solve for it in this meeting, but like, is there anything that we can do to reduce that number? Is like $5 or $6 million. Like, I don't know if there's requirements on that could be revisited or reviewed, but that number was substantial substantial in terms of the budget from a percentage standpoint. It seemed to be aligned with the state in terms of how much Franklin is spending on out-of-district tuition relative to the state averages. But it's a big number, $5 or $6 million. So can we do anything there? The second is, Sarah, you had outlined like a number of critical needs, and I know you've cut back on a lot of those. Like, do we need to, or should we revisit the idea of just, like, all of those critical needs go away? And I know there's reason to not make that happen, and I know that doesn't even cover the budget shortfall. But at a time when, all these jobs are, at stake, like, do we say like, well, we've identified these things that are critical needs, but the money is not there. So all these things that we know we want and we feel are critical and necessary, we just can't do. So they just go away. So that, I know that's only an additional few hundred thousand and it doesn't close the gap, but, should we revisit that as a potential to at least try to save some positions? And then another idea, as I was going through the budget, was is there any way for the school, so the whole rep, so everything we've been talking about so far is about cost cutting and the kind of the revenue side of it, or what pays for everything. Is obviously a huge, that's the message that's been trying to get out. Like, how do we increase that, right? Like, you know, that has to happen at some point. So how do we make that happen through override or whatever? That's one thing. But secondly, like the revenues that are coming in from the whole the marijuana industry in town, is there anything that the school district can do to get a larger proportion of those revenues? Is that something that can be revisited that could help close some of the gap as well? So those were three idea areas that I had to, you know, just maybe think a little bit differently to maybe try to get some solutions that are a little bit longer term. Because again, like we can look for cuts, but pretty much across the board, Franklin is spending less on a pure pupil basis than, you know, 50, 60, 70% of the other districts in the state.
Tim, just for the purposes of the minutes, I got, for whatever reason, I missed. The first one was looking at out-of-district placement, and then the third was looking at other sources of revenue. But the second one, what did you say? You said it would be a couple hundred thousand. I didn't write it down, and I want to make sure I captured it in the minutes.
It was like 500 and something thousand dollars that were in the budget related to critical needs that were identified, like new critical needs for the district, and that's already been cut down to some degree, but it hasn't been cut down completely.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Just wanted to capture it.
I can perhaps aim to answer a few of those questions. Yeah. I think with respect to out of district tuitions, at this point in time, you know, there may be a little bit more certainty around which to compare our tuitions to what we've budgeted because we are approaching the beginning of the fiscal year. Although the placements may also have their own uncertain budgets at this time. So we can take a look at that just to see where those numbers are coming in. There are sometimes adjustments later in the spring. In terms of revisiting the idea of critical needs, we can certainly take a look at that. There will be pieces there that I don't think can come off the plate just in terms of what we're obligated to with respect to meeting students' needs per their IEPs and some of the continuity of services within our specialized programs. In terms of community host agreement revenue, I think that there is the possibility in the future, longer term, for that to expand. I would have to check with the town administrator in terms of some of the plans with respect to those facilities within the town. And then the last piece I did not capture well in my notes. Larger proportion. And did you get the fourth one?
I got the larger proportion. Oh, of the just it was the marijuana and the.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was consistent with that.
Yeah.
So in terms of the long term puzzle there, I think there is the possibility for additional revenue to come in, but I don't think we have a value on that. But we will. You know, certainly this is the beginning of, I shouldn't say it's the beginning, but it's a continued step on this iterative process, and we will continue to look at the ideas that the committee members are putting forward today.
Sarah, would you go back just at the last subcommittee meeting, we talked about the COVID money that was coming in and that the town had we were applying for funds for that. Can you speak to that a little bit about what's happening with that money?
Sure. So there are a couple of different CARES funds coming in. We have $123,000 that are allocated directly to the Franklin Public Schools, and we are in the process of putting together an application of what that would go towards, and that is listed in the spreadsheet updating the budget figures. The other CARES money has come into the town to the tune of $2.9 million. That is applicable towards money that has already been spent to support a number of things related to the impact of the coronavirus on the town and schools. For us, it would not be able to replace or supplant anything that's already in the budget, but would have to be supplemental to our costs. And we feel that a good investment there would be in K-8 technology and Chromebooks. Right now, the students who are using Chromebooks K-8 in the remote setting, we have about 900 out in the district. Those Chromebooks are 7 years old.
Yeah.
At this point in time, they, by what we can gather from Pearson and Google, is that they will no longer be able to run the platform for MCAS testing. We anticipate needing to be in probably a hybrid, perhaps remote learning for a portion of the year next year. Where, you know, people are talking about the possibility of intermittent, smaller scale school closures next year. So we anticipate an increased reliance on technology. See that as an opportunity to take care of a need that has gone unmet for a very long time. We don't have a lot of money in the operating budget for technology, instructional technology, and our instructional technology K-8 is our hand-me-downs from the high school when the seniors graduate.
Okay, good, thank you.
It's also being used to offset some salaries that have been pretty much in the tech department, focusing entirely on getting us up and running in the remote setting.
Thanks, Sarah.
You're welcome.
It's almost 11 o'clock. Tim, did you have anything? And Jen, anything else you wanted to add?
No, I'm all set. Thank you, Anne.
All set? Okay. Tim? All set?
Yeah, for today, yeah.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. I'm just reminding people this is not a public hearing, but we do welcome public comment. We're not going to be engaging in dialogue because we don't speak for the entire committee. But if there's anything you'd like us to address on the agenda of our school committee meeting, things you'd like to have included in the superintendent's report, we certainly welcome public comments. Again, we're not going to engage in dialogue now, but we most certainly want to hear anything you'd like us to consider or think about. So if there's anyone at this point who has anything you'd like us to consider, think about, put out on the agenda for our Tuesday school committee meeting.
Hi, Anne. Can you guys hear me? This is Jen Norris.
Would you put your address just so we have you as a, you know,
74 Pleasant Street.
Thanks. Go ahead.
Does COVID and the new, you know, the new world we're living in, does this impact the, you know, is the Davis Thayer closure decision? There's obviously going to be cost savings there, but is that, I know the process is underway and it's a very defined process, but is that being looked at as part of this or reconsidered? You don't need to answer now, but that's.
Yeah, right. No, that definitely would be part of the discussion that we put out at the meeting, Jennifer. That will be something that we most certainly will be including as we go forward. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Make sure we have
time. Hi, this is Nicole Ostergren. I live at 16 Martha's Way.
Sure.
I also joined today to kind of make sure the word was getting out there that we're also concerned about the Davis Thayer closing, between the need to possibly have to redistrict all the kids in the town around that, and with the idea of having to possibly have smaller classroom settings. Just wanted to make sure that was really on the agenda as well. So thank you very much for letting us all in on this.
Thank you so much. That definitely will be out there. Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay.
Anne?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Kim, is that Kim?
Hi, Anne. It's Kim Pike, 41.
Yes, Kim. Yeah.
Brandy, 41 Brandywine.
Yeah.
Has the issue of busing, are there any way to, I know in years past, we proposed just everyone pay for busing. Has something come up as far along those lines? Or I'm not even sure if that's allowed outside of a certain area, but just wondering if paying for our own busing is a possibility to cut or raise some funds.
Can we, Miriam, can you, and Sarah, can we put that as something to consider and put out there in our public meeting, you know, relative to transportation and addressing that? Okay. Thanks, Kim.
Thank you, Ann.
Anyone else, anything like to consider that we make sure we include and address in future meetings and put on our agenda?
I have my hand raised. I'm not sure, but you can see it.
Oh, sorry. No, we couldn't see your hand. Selena, go ahead. If you could identify.
Yeah, sure. Selena Cousin. I live on 114 Beach Street.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I understood. I didn't get a full sense of what, when you were talking about middle school clubs, what would they be eliminated? Would they be reduced? Would they be, you know, one a day? Like, I wanted a little bit more clarification on the middle school after school clubs.
Okay, so you want more information on that. You want us to include information about that out in public. We will do that, absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, Selena, thank you.
Yeah.
My name's
Paul. I'm at 11 Grandview. Are you going to put Jen's proposal on the agenda for next Tuesday?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. Anyone else? I just want to make sure we capture the things that people really want to see us address, talk about, get information, because one of the things we've kind of pledged is to be as open and transparent as possible and to make sure that everything is out in the open, because that's what this is all about. And for the committee, the subcommittee, when I'm just going to be reminding people about the school committee meeting on Tuesday, but also the town council public hearing on June 17th and June 18th. I think it's important, you know, we're one Franklin, we're all working on this together and not pitting one group against another, but I know the town council cares very much about education, but they want to hear from us as citizens also to hear what's important to us. You know, what do we want our, as Tim eloquently stated, is what do we want our schools to be? What's the vision? So, you know, we always encourage people to also share your concerns there so that the town council will know what's important to the citizens of Franklin. So I'm just going to, at Tuesday's meeting, I'm going to remind people of that. Also, I'm just letting the subcommittee know. And so at this point, I would entertain a motion to adjourn from our subcommittee.
Motion to adjourn.
Jen D'Angelo, is there a second? Tim?
Second.
Okay, so roll call vote. All those in favor of the motion to adjourn. Jen D'Angelo?
Yes.
Tim Keenan?
Yes.
And Ann Bergen? Okay. A motion has been officially accepted and the meeting is adjourned. We'll see everyone at school committee on Tuesday evening and town council on the 17th and 18th. Thank you.
For the parade at 2:00, Ann.
Oh, graduation. Thanks, Jen. Yes. Be out there. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana. Copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.